Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are. With Dan Z, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. As we all know, Dan...
Yeah, we'll see. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Just another sample of the fun we have here at Coffee with Kenobi. Tom and I goofing around during one of our newscasts. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us again. We are here on show number 125 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, of course, drinking One Nation Coffee out of a Star Wars coffee mug. And this week, I am back to the classic, the Coffee with Kenobi mug that we had made for Celebration Anaheim in 2015. That was when we were just made 10 mugs and very much a burgeoning podcast. Thank you, Craig Dickinson, for that one. We are going to, of course, celebrate the release of Solo, a Star Wars story. This is the pre-show, not the pre-show that we're going to do at the museum, but it's definitely the last show before we've all seen the movie. I want to thank you so much for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. Heather Antos and writer Waldron on discussing habits or ways that they get ready for a new Star Wars movie. The three of us talk about our favorite Solo stories over the past 41 years of Star Wars. In the news, we have some major, major announcements, including a new announcement of Celebration, the next Celebration in Chicago, Illinois, which, of course, I absolutely love. So we're going to talk about that, as well as some major news about Galaxy's Edge and when that's going to open at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. And then in our coffee chat, we're going to talk about what is it that makes a character so important. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
A few reminders for you and a little bit of an announcement. Of course, this week is the Solo premiere. As we're talking about, Tom, Corey, and I will be broadcasting live from the Peoria Riverfront Museum on Thursday, May 24th, before the show plays at 7 o'clock p.m. We plan on starting around 5:30 or so, depending on when we can all get there, when we get off of work and take care of the kids and all of our things that we need to do before we can bring you this show. We're hoping to do a live stream. We'll see how it works out. We're going to try to record that and put it on YouTube. And of course, we'll be on a future episode of our show. And also, on the 25th, I am hosting another dinner and a movie where we are going to celebrate the release of Solo. There'll be a really, really nice meal at the Peoria Riverfront Museum beforehand. And then I'm going to give a 10 or 15 minute lecture about Solo and kind of go through the history of the character in comics and novels and talk about Harrison Ford and his auditions. It'll be fun to share that with all of you that are able to come out and join us. It's going to be a really, really fun night. And then afterwards, I'm going to interview people in the theater and see what they thought about the movie. That'll be exciting. Also exciting is I am going to Galactic Nights this weekend, courtesy of Walt Disney World. Thank you so much to them for that. And I'm going to get a chance to talk with some of the Imagineers who are creating Galaxy's Edge. And of course, this week, we've got some major announcements about Galaxy's Edge and when that is going to be open for business. Not exactly the actual date. I'm sure that's kind of very malleable at this time. But we do have exact moments in the calendar year where we know we can expect to get a chance to go through the world of Star Wars, Disney theme park style. So I'll definitely bring you a special show about what I discover there. Very exciting, of course. Can't wait to see that. And I will try to show as much of that as I can on Instagram and Insta Story, and especially on our Patreon page and Patreon lens.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is comic book editor Heather Antos.
Hi.
Hello, Heather. Nice to have you on Coffee with Kenobi. We are excited to talk to you about stories and storytelling because you clearly have a bit of a background in this.
A little bit. I'm so excited to finally do Coffee with Kenobi. I've done comics with Kenobi a couple times now, so yeah. I feel, you know, part of the family now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We saved a chair for you at Thanksgiving and all that good stuff.
A life day, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that too. Of course, that seems more appropriate. And, of course, we also have with us, it is our tradition here, the week of a new Star Wars movie, we have Ryder Waldron back on with us. He is the co-host of Idiots Array and, of course, is a blogger for Coffee with Kenobi.
Hey, thanks, Dan. I love this tradition and I'm happy to be back on. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. You bet. We are excited. Now, let's talk about this right off the bat. How do you both get ready for a new Star Wars movie? Now, this is a unique conversation to have with us because we have different things we do as fans, and we have different things we do as professionals of, you know, getting ready to disseminate Star Wars information and talk about it with everyone else. So, Heather, let's start with you. What are some things you do both as a fan and as a professional to get ready for a new movie, especially a Star Wars movie?
Well, so because I work in entertainment and I work in media and pop culture, it's and my life is spoilers. I try and avoid as many as possible, like even harder than most people do. And it's really funny, especially with Star Wars, working on the comics for the past several years. You know, I get to go to Lucasfilm. I get, you know, sometimes read the screenplays or get walkthroughs or even sneak peek footage beforehand. I don't watch the trailers. And everyone laughs at me about that because they're like, well, you already know what's going to happen. What's going to hurt watching the trailer?
No, that makes perfect sense because a film is such a visual medium. So you don't want to see that visual.
It is. It really, really is. And you know, like I've been such a huge fan my entire life that, you know, now working on the property, it completely changes the experience of, you know, enjoying the films. And so I do like to watch the trailers afterwards just to see how they marketed it and how, like, oh, this is, you know, what they were trying to get the fans to guess. But yeah, I don't watch the trailers. I don't know. That's the only way.
I understand. Well, I try to avoid the trailer for Solo, and then the day of it premiered, I actually avoided it for about an hour. And then people at school were like, you know, Mr. Zare, you have a Star Wars podcast. I said, yeah, I know. I heard about that. So I thought, okay, I probably should just watch it. And I only watched it once, which is kind of funny because when we were at the premiere, about 10 minutes before the movie started, they showed the trailer again. And I thought, oh, come on. I'm just so close to seeing it. I don't want to be spoiled by this.
Yeah, I was going to say that was me. I was at the Infinity War premiere and I made it so close. I was so close. And then they played the Solo trailer and I was just like, no.
And you rioted. I heard about that. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, I shut Marvel Studios down, normal movies.
I love it. That, well, it seems appropriate. And Ryder, now what about you? You also run a successful Star Wars podcast. What do you do to get ready for a Star Wars movie? Do you avoid, one of the main cruxes of the show is we avoid spoilers. But
avoid spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
I do none of that cool stuff that Heather gets to do. I do watch the trailers. I usually watch them a few times. I've watched Solo a few times, but I've been kind of avoiding all the TV spots. I take the day off work because I really like to mentally prepare myself for that. And people think I'm crazy for doing that, but mostly it's just that I like to have the day off work and that seems like a valid excuse to take it off.
Sure.
And avoiding
Hopefully
spoilers.
Your patients don't mind.
Patients have asked, you know, so are you going out of town for Memorial Day weekend? No, I'm just taking it off to go see some Star Wars.
And I'm more impressed that they call you sir. That's good.
Yeah. And I get excited. We're taking our kids. This time, my wife and I usually go to opening night on Thursday. This time, we're taking a couple of our kids because they've been begging to go to a midnight movie, and I had to break it to them that the midnight movie is actually at 7 o'clock. And so, you know, they're disappointed, but so we're gonna go see it a couple times this weekend, and it's kind of exciting to just get excited about Star Wars and take some time off work and have fun, and you know, that's what Star Wars should be about.
For sure. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Thursday night, myself and Corey and Tom will be broadcasting live from the Peoria Riverfront Museum, as we always do for a premiere. And then Friday night, the actual day of the full day of release, I'm hosting a dinner and a movie, and I'm giving about a 15-minute lecture about mythology and Han Solo at the same museum. So I'm excited about that, but it's definitely a very different way to do it. Now, I am glad that I saw the movie in advance, just because for me, I don't know about the two of you, but when I see a Star Wars movie for the first time, Star Wars is such a familiar property, I think, for us, so many of us, that when we see it for the first time, we're so excited and overwhelmed, and we just kind of need a moment to just sort of digest, and make it familiar in our own minds. And then we kind of spread it out into our fandom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I think for me, knowing as much as I know about the films going into it ahead of time, I think, you know, my viewing experience is a little bit different in the fact that, like, I'll pay attention to other details rather than main plot points.
Sure. Like acting and things like that, or?
Well, just not even just acting, but, like, you know, I'll really get into, like, the practical effects of it, or I'll really get into, you know, the creatures and, like, the little fun tidbits of the creatures. Like, one of my favorite things, like, everyone, you know, there was a lot of backlash about the Canto Bite scene in Last Jedi, but, like, yeah. I'm over the moon at all the different alien designs and that, and the little, you know, the little ticks all they have. And just, I don't know, like, that was super exciting to me. And that was a very Star Wars thing that I don't know. I tend to go a little bit past surface level, I think. And then on my second viewing, when I go back, then I'm paying attention to the story. So I kind of reverse it. I think in my
viewing. That's cool, though. But you come from a very unique point of view, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
see, the first time I seen one, I just, people like Corey used to, he and I used to get in these debates all the time. He's like, well, why don't you just watch it? Why do you have to analyze it? Because I'm an English teacher. That's what I do. Like, that's what I enjoy. I like looking at lighting and looking for elements of symbolism and themes and motifs and culture. And I just like diving into the mythology part of it. And there's plenty to be had in Solo. There are going to be a lot of fun things for people to enjoy with this movie. So we'll leave it at that. I will say really quickly before we wrap up this segment, we've talked about all the things we do, but are there any things that you don't do? I mean, we avoid spoilers, but here's something strange. The first time I saw the Tobey Maguire, the original Spider-Man film, an hour before I went and saw that movie, I read the first 5 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, Bendis Spider-Man, right? That was the worst thing I ever could have done, because those comics are about the most perfect Spider-Man stories that you can tell. So I had that in my mind. So at the end of the original Spider-Man film, when he says, no, I can't have Mary Jane in my life and have Spider-Man 2, and he started to get really annoyed, and like, no, he's using fear instead of blah, blah. And I purposely avoid anything that I really like that Star Wars related the week of a new movie, because I don't want to have preconceived notions in my head. I probably need to see a therapist, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I do that too. I noticed with The Last Jedi that I tried to go in with no biases, no expectations. And there were a few things that I went in thinking, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And after I saw it the first time, I thought, gosh, that didn't happen. That wasn't exactly what I had thought of, you know, thought was going to happen. And so I thought, gosh, did I really love it? I went back the next day and saw The Last Jedi again. I thought, yeah, that was an amazing movie. I love it. So I'm going to try to go in with, like, no preconceived notions. I'm not going to expect anything to happen at the end. No certain character introductions or anything like that. I don't want to have any expectations as far as tie-ins to the original trilogy or The Force Awakens or anything like that, because it does take away from, you know, your enjoyment, because you're kind of expecting something to come up next. And the first time I see it, I just kind of watch it. I enjoy it. It seems to go by pretty fast. And then the next time I go, I try to slow it down and enjoy it, look for the symbolism and the, you know, analyze it a little more. So, yeah, the first time I try to just go in and enjoy it. And then we talk about it as a family after.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, just given the nature of working in the story and in the canon, you know, my whole life for the past 3 years has been, like, so consumed by Star Wars story. So I can't necessarily avoid it.
Right. No, you can't.
And usually I'm going in already knowing what's coming after as well. So for me, watching the films and knowing what I know about them is all about seeing how they tell the story, you know, because you can give the script to 20 different actors, to 20 different directors, to 20 different cinematographers, and you're going to get 20 different films each time. So, you know, this is, you know, how is Ron Howard telling the story? How is Alden Ehrenreich bringing Han Solo to the table? And so that's what I like to go into experience.
I think that's a really, because you're very much looking at it like sort of like a cultural anthropologist, because you were able to, you understand the story because you're familiar with it. But like you said, different people are going to tell it in a different way. And I think that's exciting. Boy, it's going to be fun to talk about this movie after everyone has seen it. So let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look at our favorite Han Solo stories over the past 40 years. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Now it's time for me to talk to you a little bit about Patreon and the wonderful things we were able to do on our Patreon page and with Coffee with Kenobi because of all of your amazing contributions. And because of your amazing contributions, I want to thank Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Lieutenant Law, Aaron Harris, Chris Savarka, Crystal Hayding, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Brad Tracy, Dad Davies, Tyler Wiggins, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jerry Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. Having Patreon and Coffee with Kenobi together means you get access to Lens, which is our behind-the-scenes look at Coffee with Kenobi. I showed a lot of stuff when I went to L.A. for the world premiere of Solo, and I'm going this weekend to Disney World to go to the next Galactic Nights, so I'll be showing you some exclusive behind-the-scenes stuff of my trip there, which will be fun. And you can also get access to our Discord page for $10 or more. But the big thing, for $5 or more a month, you get access to our exclusive weekly show where we talk about random geek things and Star Wars. And it's just me, myself, and Tom Gross. And we have the absolute best time bringing you these conversations, these podcasts. We've gotten so much wonderful feedback. I really hope the word gets spread about these shows because I'm really proud of them. It's fun to talk with Tom and Corey, of course. We just have the best time. There's so many fun things going on. We're going to have a bit of an exclusive review of Solo. We're going to have the major one next week for all of our Coffee with Kenobi family members, of course, on show number 126. But the Patreon exclusive one we're going to do immediately after we see Solo. Quick hit immediate reaction where we discuss some immediate plot points that'll just be for the Patreon members. And not only that, but you could get access to a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or maybe even both. You could also get the chance to host the show with me 4 times in 1 month. So be sure to check out Coffee with Kenobi on Patreon through Patreon's website or through Coffee with Kenobi and the Patreon button at the top right. Classic Tops meets the digital age. Relive your childhood with daily releases of your favorite Star Wars characters, moments, and more from 1977 to the upcoming Solo A Star Wars Story. Download Star Wars Card Trader free now. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. 4 lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way, and I promise you, you will not regret it. We are back, and Heather, Ryder, and myself are going to discuss our favorite Solo stories over the last 40 years. Now, we're not going to throw in the film version. For this, we're just going to look at the past 40 years of Star Wars in literature, whether it would be comic books or novels or short stories or things in Star Wars. Ryder, why don't you go first? What's the number one one that you have on your list? And it doesn't have to be necessarily in order, per se.
Yeah, I'll just, and Heather may be familiar with this one, I'm not sure. The Han Solo comic that came out most recently. I really like that story with the... He is almost recruited by Princess Leia to enter this dragon void race. And he's supposed to pick up some of the moles that the rebellion has planted in the Empire. And it's a mystery. And I read all 5 of those in a row today to get ready for this. And it's really interesting to read all of them in a row rather than, you know, once a month or once every couple of weeks, however they come out. And I really liked it. I thought it was written well for Han, his character. I thought it fit well. I thought the art was really good too, but it was kind of a mystery. And I thought this is something that I could watch as like a mini series or something like that, if they ever put it together in a TV show or something. So that would be my first one.
Heather, what about you?
So I picked a fun one, for my first one. It's one of the Star Wars Tales comics. So it's not canon. It was never canonical. So I don't know if you can even call it Legends. But it was Star Wars Tales number 19, where Han Solo meets Indiana Jones, sort of. It's Han and Chewie are shot down over a planet. Han ends up dying, spoilers. Years later, there's legends of this Bigfoot like creature that was walking around there, and this archaeologist goes to check it out, and he stumbles upon Han Solo's skeleton. And so it's this weird, I have this obsession with Indiana Jones, and so now it's Indiana Jones meets Star Wars. And it's by one of my favorite comic artists when he was first starting out, Sean Murphy. And it's just this great collaboration of all things fun that isn't canon at all.
No, but I mean, Indiana Jones is my very favorite fictional character, period. That's a good thing. That's awesome. I know exactly the one you're talking about. In fact, I almost picked that one, but I didn't. I picked for the first one, this first one that popped into my mind. It was Star Wars number one from 2015. That first issue, the characterization of the big three in that first issue is literally as good as it possibly gets in the world of Star Wars. That one blew me away. And that thing had me so excited. I thought it was marvelous because Han is tricky. Mm-hmm. I think like with a lot of comic book characters, people sometimes overplay some of the important points of their character and make that the focal point instead of making that an aspect of their character. And this one really balanced the nuance of what it means to be a vulnerable scoundrel with a heart of gold. And I just thought it was outstanding.
Okay, so my second one, one that I really enjoyed was Scoundrels, the book by Timothy Zahn. I believe it's a Legends book now, but it's I think people have described it as almost like an Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
Yes.
And I think, people have described mostly like a Ocean's 11 type book with Han as the ringleader and Lando's there. And I think Boba Fett makes an appearance. I can't remember the whole story, but I remember I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was
really
well.
Well, you just spoiled the last page of the book. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's all right. Spoiler that's alert. Why God made edits. Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah. So that's my, so Scoundrels is my number two.
My number two is from again, the 2015, the first arc of Star Wars by Jason Aaron and John Cassaday, when we introduced Sana Staros as Han Solo's quote unquote wife.
Yes.
And that whole storyline of, are they married? Are they not married? He married for a con. Like, it's like the most Han Solo thing that could have happened. The chemistry between those two characters and their history and backstory was just so much fun to work on. It's definitely one of those like golden stories for me as the character.
But I don't know if you know this, Heather, but sometimes fans get a little worked up about things.
They do.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard about that or not, but I think it's a thing. But when that issue came up, because people were so worked up about it. But like you said, that is completely Han Solo. That is exactly the kind of zaniness that he would attempt. And she's a fantastic character. In fact, she makes some really cool, poignant moments happen in the most recent Han Solo novel, too, Last Shot. So it's cool to see, again, how Matt and everybody in the story group have helped to bridge that gap between all these different pieces of art in Star Wars and make these characters sing. So Santa's definitely a good call.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I just the fan outrage, like one of my favorite things getting the fan mail the day that issue came out in the weeks that followed was the people who were just like, he loves Leia. And I'm just like, yes, because Han never, ever talked to another woman before Princess Leia was in his life.
He stood in the corner with his hands in his pockets the whole time.
He's just pure.
He seems like that type of guy.
He does. Yeah. He does. He really does.
He'll come out of his shell someday. My second choice is Bloodline. And not just because it's my very favorite Star Wars novel. And this is, of course, set before The Force Awakens, but after Han and Leia are already established in their relationship. And he doesn't make a ton of appearances. But when he is, it's, again, Claudia Gray completely gets the nuance of this character. And that's going to be kind of my theme throughout my top three stories that I'm picking. Because I don't like when certain traits are overplayed. And he's charming and he loves Leia. But he's also very much an independent free spirit. And I think Bloodline captures that really well.
It's a good book. Yeah, Claudia Gray does some good Star Wars work.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's awesome, so good.
Book, yeah. Okay, so this was a tough one for me because to whittle it down to just three. I'm going to go with Last Shot because I feel like this book has been awesome. The latest Han Solo and Lando story. And I loved how the characters are written. I feel like in some of the Expanded Universe books, a lot of the Han Solo writing got to be like every time they were trying to write a line, they wanted to be like a memorable line that, you know, a one-liner that Han would always throw out there. And I don't feel like Han Solo was always like that. And in this book, it feels like I could picture Han on the screen, either as Alden or as Harrison. And I just thought it was well written, very well done, and I've really liked the book. The one that I was debating about picking was the Padawan Menace, the Lego cartoon, because that is a great story. But I thought I might get kicked off Coffee with Kenobi if I picked that one. So
no, never, sir. Shot. Never, sir. You have a good street cred. You know what? I haven't said this on the show before, but I don't love Last Shot.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I mean, I'll save that.
I enjoyed it.
I like it.
I haven't finished reading it yet. So.
Really? Okay. Well, after you finish reading and we'll have you back on and we'll talk about it because I really want to see what you both think about it. In fact, let's schedule that for about a month or two from now because I don't know. I think that book overplays certain aspects of Solo.
All right.
Yeah. So
okay. We'll
see. Okay. Heather, what's your next one?
So I was going to pick the Marvel Han Solo story, but seems like one of us already picked that. So
spoiler, three of us are going to pick that. So,
oh man. Well, then I definitely won't pick it. But quick backup. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the second of the Infinities, but the Marvel's Star Wars Infinities, which again, non-canonical, hypothetical. I like the weird comic stories. Where if you're not familiar with the Infinities comics, it was basically like a what if. So what if one thing had changed in Empire Strikes Back? How would that affect the story? And in this comic, the what if was, what if Han didn't make it to Luke in time with the Tauntaun? So Luke dies. Spoilers. Well, and then spoilers, Luke tells Han to go to Dagobah. So Han goes to Dagobah and trains with Yoda because Yoda would train Han despite not having the Force. But whatever.
Minor detail.
Yeah, whatever. So Han does all the training on Dagobah and then he goes to confront Leia, who I think is evil now in this story. That's I can't remember exactly. I think she turns to the dark side and
Vader's got all white on, correct?
That's in the last one. That's when Vader turns into a good guy.
So cool. I love that arc.
They're so fun. I love them so much.
I never got the Jedi ones. Did they make Jedi ones? Surely they did.
They did. I can't remember what they are.
Yeah, me either.
Right now. It's just sitting on my bookshelf, just mere 3 feet away. But they did make Jedi ones. They're really good. But yeah, I just love the visuals of like Han training with Yoda. And Yoda's like, eh, whatever, I'm a crazy kooky old man. This is comical.
I'm going to revisit that because that's a good call.
There's also an old one where like Vader drinks a cup of coffee in one of the issues.
No way.
Yes, I have. After this, I'll find the panel and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please do.
Like Dark Helmet in Spaceballs? Is that how he like?
No, this was back in the like in the Howard Chaykin like original A New Hope. You know, before the movie came out, when Vader was colored green because they didn't know that Vader was black.
I have the originals of all of those, by the way.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Like the original issues?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have the single issues. I have them all in trades, but I do.
They're great. I love the art. They're very wordy. Like there's so much filled into those word balloons. So my last one is the Han Solo miniseries. I did a number when I was doing a comic book galaxy for StarWars.com. It was a weekly look at the Star Wars Marvel comics. And we had so much fun. Dan and I had so much fun working on those. But I kept going back to that Han Solo series more than any of them. But my favorite moment from that entire series is the punch at the very beginning of the first issue when she has to convince everyone that she's mad at him. And that would be a reason for him to leave the rebellion because they didn't want anyone to suspect what he was actually doing. And just there's some panels by both of their immediate reactions after she hits him that are just so iconic and just it completely encapsulates the energy between those two at that time in their relationship. It's just it's gold. It's absolute gold.
I own that page.
Do you really? I'm so envious.
I own that page.
Isn't it perfect?
It's so good. I remember when reading that script, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Lucasfilm isn't gonna let us have Leia punch on. And they did, and it's just beautiful and amazing. And yeah, it was just a perfect moment for that first issue.
It really is. It just sets the story perfectly. And then there's little moments of tension, not tension so much as sort of they're thinking about each other from across space. And oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So see, there are a lot of fun Han Solo stories out there, to be sure. So let's go ahead. Any honorable mentions before we wrap up this segment?
I would say I really did enjoy Greg Rucka's Smuggler's Run. That was a fun one.
Yes.
About, you know, after A New Hope when he has all that reward money.
Yes.
I enjoyed that one. That one was a lot of fun.
I had Smuggler's Run written down also. I thought that was a great one. And the Padawan Menace. Let me just throw that in again.
Well, I can't remember the name of the arc, but it's the one where at one point Han and Leia are racing on that huge Star Destroyer that they overtake.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember
the name of the arc, but that was the one that was drawn by Jorge Molina.
Yes.
That was when the Bad Batch Stormtroopers, Scar Squad, were coming after them. Yeah, I can't remember what that arc was called, but
neither, but it was really another engaging moment. You own that one too?
I own a page from that arc too.
This is fun having you on because now I can actually be super envious too. This is so cool. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Tom has a lot of exciting Star Wars news for us to talk about, including celebration and an announcement of a date for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Star Wars fans, Han Solo cards have arrived in Star Wars Card Trader by Topps. Download free for your very own virtual hobby shop featuring exclusive content for the upcoming Solo, A Star Wars Story, available in the App Store or Google Play. Harry's Razors has changed the way that I get ready every morning for school. It just made my life so much more easy and convenient. I don't have to worry about running out of razor blades or having to rely on one that's just gotten old and I haven't gotten a chance to run out to the store. It's just so much better and the prices are amazing. But the thing I love the most about shaving with Harry's is they stand behind the quality of their blades, but they also know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So they created a trial offer and you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKfamily. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades. I mean, it was sharp, durable steel that lasts. And that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. Just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. And it's a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. For a trial offer, you're going to get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKfamily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKfamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. We are back and it is news time. This is a particularly exciting news segment because we've got a ton of information, including a major announcement about the fandom community.
Yes, let's get it started because recently released Scott Trowbridge of Disney Parks blog announced that Star Wars Galaxy Edge will open in the summer of 2019 at Disneyland Resort and in late fall 2019 at Disney World Resort, when guests will land in the middle of the action as they live their own Star Wars stories.
So now we don't have an actual date, but we do have very, very specific times of the year. So Disneyland will be the summer of 2019, and Disney World will be in the fall of 2019. So everybody, where do we go from here on this? I was just in Disneyland 2 weekends ago, and there's only certain sections in that park where you can see the construction from far away. Whereas at Disney World, there's this huge wall that we're talking about that says, you know, this is where Galaxy's Edge is going to be. Either way, this is huge, insane news. I mean, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited. I mean, ever since they made the announcements that, like, Star Wars Land was going to be a thing, you know, I can't contain my excitement, you know, like the little 5-year-old me is just, oh, if only it was a thing when I was a kid, but I can't wait. I'm going to be doing cartwheels.
Well, I can't do cartwheels, so I won't be doing those, but I've always loved Star Wars. I've always loved Disney and I've always loved going to Disneyland. And I thought when they added Star Tours and the Indiana Jones ride, I thought, we've made it. This is the perfect addition to Disneyland. And now that they're adding Galaxy Edge, I'm thrilled. I think it'll just be amazing. It's just like, it's probably like all of our dreams come true as kids, you know, wanting something like Star Wars at Disneyland.
Right. I mean, like already, you know, when I go, I've never been to Disneyland, but Disney World, like you see the giant AT-AT there, you know, the life-size AT-AT, mm-hmm. and then you can ride, you know, get a picture riding the speeder bike and all of these things, like that already has me super, super hyped up, like getting to do that. So it's going to be insane. It is going to be absolutely insane to be walking around those buildings and interacting with the characters. And I can't wait.
Disney's been such a huge part of my life. I worked there when I was in college. I proposed to my wife there. We had our honeymoon there, went on a Disney cruise. I mean, Disney, I've got so many fond memories of that, even when I was a kid, too. And just knowing that someday I'm going to be able to take my son's hand and walk with them up the ramp of the Millennium Falcon, that is just something that I just can't even explain how much that is going to mean to me.
Now, I don't know if you saw the announcement that was on the Disney Parks blog, but in conjunction with that, there's a little promo video. Did you get a chance to see that video?
No. What? Tell me about it.
There's not much to it. It's about 30 seconds long, and it has some soft Star Wars setting music, and they've got a bird's eye view of the Galaxy's Edge land, and you're just gazing upon it, and then two TIE fighters come screeching out, and that's it. But what it makes me think of is, and Heather, you referenced this, and Ryder, you did too, about, you know, being the 5-year-old. And I just go back to, remember when we were little and we would lay on the floor with our action figures and our heads would be right down mm-hmm. on the ground as we're making the story and we're walking around and we were just part of it there. Now we don't have to lay down on the ground to be a part of it anymore. We're going to walk around and experience it. And how much fun is that going to be? Oh my gosh.
Well, we are the action figures now.
Yes, we are the action figures.
And Tom, good news, you can still lay on the ground, but probably the first year and a half, you will probably get stepped on.
Yeah, right. There's not going to be a lot of blank space on the ground. That is for sure.
That's true.
Well, great news there. Well, I have more great news. So you may already know about this, but I have not had a chance to share. So forgive some of my references. You have to be sort of a part of this culture. So get ready for this.
Already. Yeah.
Get ready, Star Wars fans. You'll be heading to the greatest city in the world for Star Wars Celebration in April 2019. Sweet home Chicago.
Start spreading the news.
I'm sorry?
Let's start spreading the news.
Let's start spreading the news. I am prepping my R2, Jake, and my 3PO, Elwood, to make the blues droids. And I'm getting my basement ready for Anakin's world. Anakin's world.
No, that's too far.
Okay. I will bring it back. 2019 marks the 20th anniversary of Star Wars Celebration to North America's largest convention center, the McCormick Place in Chicago, April 15th, 11th through the 15th. Now, tickets including multi-day, single day, and VIP passes are scheduled to go on sale June 5th at noon Central Standard Time at www.StarWarsCelebration.com. And I was going to talk a little bit about what Celebration is like, but as I have never been there yet, I'm gonna set that aside for all of you to talk about.
Sure. Well, I mean, this will be my fourth Celebration, and I mean, I was going to go no matter where it was. But the fact that I can get in my car and drive just 2 hours and go, and not have to get on a plane. I mean, I love flying, but it's just, I mean, let's be honest, it's much cheaper to be able to drive.
And we had talked about in a couple of days, I could have ridden my bike there.
That's true. You could have. No, I am so excited that it's in Chicago. I can't even fathom it. And I know that convention center it's the biggest one, I believe. I know it's the biggest one in the country. I don't know if it's the biggest one in the world, but that place is huge. I went there for a couple of electronic shows years ago, and they always have all kinds of stuff going on. There's so much room and so much space. It's a perfect place. It's right smack dab in the middle of the country, so everybody has an equal chance to kind of get there. I am just so excited about this. Mm.
Yeah, this will be my fourth Celebration as well. And the McCormick Center is one of my favorite convention centers I've ever been to. It's a great center, and I go to comic conventions, pop culture conventions all over the world, and hands down. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Star Wars fan. Hands down, Star Wars Celebration year after year is the best convention I go to. Mm-hmm. It's just everyone is so nice. It's nice to be at a convention where everyone is there for the same thing. And yeah, everyone is there just because they love Star Wars. And so there is something that unites every single human being in that space. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's just so wonderful to be around that much excitement and that much positivity. And if you've never been to Celebration, go to this one. There's going to be room for all of us here.
That's true. And maybe afterwards, one of the days, maybe we'll all go to a Cubs game. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Go Cubs, go.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm really excited that it's in Chicago. I went to dental school in Milwaukee, so I'd go down to Chicago quite a bit, and I've been to a couple of dental conventions at McCormick Place, and it is huge. And I'm pretty sure that this Star Wars convention is going to be much better than the dental conventions I went to there. There's great shopping in Chicago. Chicago's a great city. And so my wife's excited to go shopping there. I'm excited to go to Star Wars, and it's going to be great. Yeah. I'm really excited.
Well, I guess while I consider new ways of root canals, I'll move on to our final story of the evening. With the summer movie season underway, many in Hollywood are looking for a rebound from the 2017 film summer season. While things are looking up for the box office with a can't-miss list of films that include, Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, many are looking to this weekend's release of Solo, A Star Wars Story to set the tone. According to the Los Angeles Times, ticket sales this year so far up 6% from last year to this date, no doubt helped very much by the Black Panther. But also, while 2017 films may have taken some of those movies sequels too deep, like Alien or Transformers and The Mummy, 2018 brings more superheroes, sci-fi adventures, and dinosaurs that filmgoers seem to be willing to ante up to see. All eyes will be on Solo this weekend, as some believe it may fall below projections with negative feelings about the director reshuffling and some lukewarm reviews. Now, if Solo does well, it definitely will validate that all that Disney has done with the spinoff films and likely launch the summer movie season into high gear for 2018.
All right, so a couple of thoughts on this. One, the only problem that Solo has, and I've seen Infinity War and I've seen Solo, the only problem Solo has is that it came out after Infinity War. And that's the big problem. I mean, Infinity War is so good and so compelling and so just jaw-dropping. So, and anything that comes after that is going to have a hard time following that. Unless it's the original Godfather when it first came out. And, you know, that's not going to happen. This
Gone,
movie...
Gone with me, the Wind, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So let me put people's fears to rest on this. And I'm not spoiling anything about the movie at all. Here's the thing. The director shuffle has zero impact on your enjoyment of this film. You won't notice it. It's a Ron Howard film through and through. Alden Ehrenreich's performance is wonderful. You're going to love this movie just spending time with him as Han Solo. I promise. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I love Ron Howard. And I saw the interview with Ron that Ash Crossan did recently. And his enthusiasm is amazing. And you don't get any cooler than Ron Howard. Come on.
That's true.
And this is going to be an I'm so excited. There's no worry about who is somebody's parents. You know, is somebody going to turn to the dark side? Is somebody going to be redeemed? It's just Han Solo. It's cool. It's going to be fun. You know, he's not going to die at the end. And it's just
of this one.
It's just going to be awesome. Of this one. And, you know, you don't have to go in worried about anything. It's going
to be. Is Adam Driver in this one?
He might make a cameo. I don't know.
Oh, wait, hold on. You just said that there's no one cooler than Ron Howard. Are you saying that Han Solo takes a number two to Ron Howard?
Okay, let me read. Yeah. Oh, there's no cooler director than Ron Howard, and he's a redhead like me. So
I don't know. I think Han Solo would say he is the director of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay.
Fair to say. This is going to tie nicely to our next segment, by the way.
I'd like to see Harrison Ford and Ron Howard fight.
I would too. Okay, we agree on this.
You know what, though? I will say, in regards to that concern that came up in the LA Times story, that I've had two conversations with what I would call non-Star Wars fans in the last week. And I just and both of them came up because I was wearing my Solo hat, graciously given to me by you, Dan, which I very much appreciate. And both people that I spoke with did very, very early in our conversation mention their concerns about the director shift. Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, calm their nerves about all of it. So I just wonder how much of this outside of our culture, Star Wars fandom, mm-hmm. is a big deal to sort of the periphery fans who, you know, love a good movie, but don't know the details. And so I wonder, you know, when they're talking about, because obviously Star Wars fans are going to this film. That's not a question. What makes the film big and a hit is when you draw in all the periphery and the curiosity goers and all of that. And so I wonder if there is that general feeling of, huh, I wonder if this one's going to be as good because of the notable shift.
I mean, that's fair. And a lot of that is just people who maybe aren't necessarily as ensconced in some of the ins and outs, and they just kind of see the headlines and make an assumption, and then away we go, right? Mm-hmm. So that's certainly a possibility. But I hope that doesn't deter people from giving it a chance. I think the word of mouth is going to be very positive on this film, and I think that will help too.
I think if anything, it's just going to deter opening weekend a little bit. And like people will wait and like, oh, we'll wait and see what the talk is going to be, what the online chatter is going to be. And then we'll go next weekend, like if anything. But that opening weekend is already going to be so massive anyway, because that's the diehard Star Wars fans that had the tickets bought. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to deter at the end game, because the movie is so good and so much fun and just pure Solo through and through. So if you liked, you know, if you like Han Solo as a character, there's no reason for you not to enjoy this film.
Totally agree.
And director or no director.
Exactly. All right. Well, Tom, hey, thank you so much. Lots of great stuff to talk about. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Heather a little bit more about stories and storytelling and what goes into making these great character moments. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Lando Calrissian are back in the upcoming Solo, A Star Wars Story. Collect your own piece of the Star Wars galaxy in the Star Wars Card Fair app by Topps. Download free now in the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Stores. One Nation Coffee, the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way. Getting ready to plan that summer vacation? Mouse Fan Travel has you covered with signature service and expert advice to help clients maximize their vacation time and dollar. They help your family enjoy everything the Disney theme parks and cruise line have to offer, help plan every detail, and share invaluable tips to help make all of your family's Disney dreams come true. Check out www.mousefantravel.com today. We are back and it is coffee chat time, and we have a very unique opportunity because Heather is obviously ensconced in Star Wars and storytelling, but not just about Star Wars, but just comics and characters in general. So Heather, I would love to take this opportunity to pick your brain and just ask you some basic questions sort of about the evolution of story, because I think story, so much about stories and storytelling reflects so much about what we value as a culture, what is important to us as people, and comics are a wonderful medium that are able to show that. What kind of drew you to this medium of storytelling in the first place?
I think it was just something that was always part of my life. Growing up, I remember distinctly fighting over the Sunday comic strip news section with my brothers to the point where my parents like had to schedule it. So, you know, anything from reading Kathy to Peanuts to Garfield, you know, Dilbert, all of that growing up. And it just evolutionized to watching the cartoons and, you know, then once I discovered the funny books, it's just always been such a part of my life. I was drawing comics before I knew really what comics were. So when I graduated college and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, and a friend was like, well, you like those, why don't you work in those? It just kind of made sense.
That's cool. I love that you said the funny books, by the way. Were there certain ones that when you were growing up or when you were in college that you thought, I really like this? And you know how it is. Sometimes certain characters, they're fine, but in the hands of some creators, they just come to life in these ways that no one is ever able to replicate. Do you ever have certain kind of key runs or characters and their creators that are just so iconic for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one writes Superman like Mark Waid does to me. And I think part of that just comes from his storyline, Kingdom Come with Alex Ross, was like the first comic book I remember reading that I had like an actual like visceral emotional reaction to. Like I remember, you know, reading that book and like Superman is retired and old and grizzled and he's done being a superhero and things are just terrible. The world is going to end. All the bad guys are going to win. And, you know, the Justice League comes to Clark and it's just like, you know, dude, you got to do this. We need you. We can't do this without you. And Superman just basically says, screw you. I'm done. And then you see that one page that you turn and he's in his uniform again. And I just remember like tearing up at that. Like it was just this, like, that is a hero. It's so powerful. It's such a powerful moment. And like, there's something with comic books, with the pacing of the page turns and the art and the coloring and everything that like, it's so unique to this medium.
Hmm. I never thought about that. You very much control the pace of the story. Wow. I never thought about that. How metacognitive is that? Wow.
Yeah, 100%. And so like, you know, stuff like that, like Jerry Duggan's run on Deadpool is one of the most underrated character runs of all time. And I hope people look back on it and like, you know, really analyze this story, because people tend to look at Deadpool like he's this, you know, he just tells fart jokes and kills people and is violent, but he's so much more than that. He's, you know, this dude who's makes mistakes, who is a bit crazy and unstable, but at the end of the day, he's trying to be a good guy. He's trying so hard to be a good guy and a good father and be a hero. He just wants to be a hero. He idolizes Cap so much, but everyone keeps telling him he's a bad guy. Some of my favorite moments in comics have nothing to do with the superpowers.
Oh yeah.
But just the moments of people just sitting there and being human.
So I didn't even think about asking this until 5 seconds ago, but can you think of a certain arc or storyline that is just, that is it for you as far as the pinnacle of comics? Because to me, it's the Judas Contract from Teen Titans with George Perez. And That is about as good as it gets. And it's not in the same vein, but I loved Jeff Loeb's run on Superman. With he and Ed McGuinness, I just thought that was magic.
I don't know about arc. I do have an issue that I think is just, this is what comics are and this is what they can be. And it is Black Widow number one by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee and Matt Wilson came out like 2 years ago. And the entire issue, except for the last panel, is silent. And I mean silent as in no one says anything.
Like the G.I. Joe classic.
Yeah, but it's the whole comic is like a James Bond opening chase scene. It just, the art and storytelling in the art just speaks volumes and is so loud and like it's just so encompassing. You're in this world and it's just so cool to read a comic that is silent, but it still takes you 20 minutes to go through the whole thing because there's just so much going on and it's done so, so well. And it really speaks to the power and control that a good artist has. Again, like we mentioned before about the pacing, that's all controlled by the artist. And that comic book is one I always point to when artists like, oh, how do I learn storytelling? How do I, you know, what do I look to? And that's just a classic one. It's so well done.
That's an excellent choice right there. I used to have these debates with friends of mine where they would say, look, you can have the worst writer, but if the art is good, people are going to buy the issue. Do you think that's the case? Or do you kind of find that it just has to be kind of a perfect mix? I know it's a tricky question.
It is a tricky question. Bad art can certainly ruin a good script, 100%. Yeah. And good art can, I don't know, necessarily save a bad script, but it can certainly make it better.
Yeah, and it depends on what you're reading it for, too. You know, and
right.
Someone just wants to see someone get punched versus someone who wants to see how this compares to Hamlet or something like that.
Right. Yeah. It definitely depends. At the end of the day, it's all subjective anyway, but, but yeah, good art can definitely help a bad script, but poor art, it could be Neil Gaiman and
right.
I don't know if, you know, I don't know, a stick figure Neil Gaiman script could be interesting though. I want to see this now.
Exactly, because he can make it happen. So when we're talking about stories, but what about characters? What, in your professional experience, and just as a fan as well, what kind of characters do you find that people seem to be the most drawn to?
I mean, everyone likes a good underdog, right? I think that's because we all see ourselves as underdogs in a way, unless we deal with narcissism. everyone sees ourselves as an everyman, as an underdog. So I think those, you know, people definitely tend to pull towards as well. And then like the mysterious cool characters, like we have our Han Solos or our Dr. Aphras that, you know, you never quite tell if they're a good guy or bad guy in the scene.
They're very much underdogs as well.
But they are. They certainly are. There are underdogs that I think are. There are underdogs that I think are kind of born into it, but are given opportunity. And I think there are other underdogs that are comfortable in that position.
Right.
And I think Han is one of those that's comfortable in that position. You know, he he doesn't want to be seen as the hero or the good guy, because then there's responsibility. And that's actually been a fun story arc to work on with him in the Star Wars comics, is getting him to the point of where he is. Where, what is he in Empire? He's like a general in the army or something like that. Yes, or in the rebellion. Yeah. So that's a hefty rank change from the end of A New Hope. And so he got to a point where he accepted this responsibility and is comfortable with being a leader. You know, he's not an underdog anymore.
Right.
And so it's fun working on those comics and saying, you know, this is point A and this is point B, and how do we bring these characters there? Not only how do we get the story there of the saga and the canon, but how do we get these characters from this point?
And then we transition to Karen Gillan and Charles Soule's runs on Darth Vader, who is clearly not a hero by any stretch of the imagination, not in the persona of Darth Vader. So that brings about another unique set of challenges when it comes to story and storytelling.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Vader has been a very fun character to work on, especially because he's one of the most explored villains in history.
Right.
You know, everyone gets into his psyche and wants to know what's going on under that mask. And getting to tell his story in two very different timelines has been a lot of fun. Charles' run especially, because there's still so much Anakin in him. There's still so much raw anger that he's learning to control, and he's not a leader yet, and he's not, you know, the Emperor is still testing him constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to do that journey of that psyche of Vader even just learning what it means to be Sith and learning to let go of his humanity in a way is really sad and tragic.
Well, and one of the things that was so great about, I'm sorry. Well, the thing about Gillan and Sal's run on Vader, what struck me, and I had a good chance to talk with Gillan about that for a while, man, when you have to transcribe something that he says, it's very tricky because he talks very fast and he's very British.
He's got a Northern England accent. Yeah.
But he's so cool and he's so smart. And one of the things that always stuck out to me is he said, the thing about Vader is, besides you have to be careful with where he is, because, you know, Empire's where you really start to see the major kind of change in him. But you can't show expression on his face because it's just a helmet. So you really have to breathe life into him in a very, very hard way. I mean, he's got to be one of the hardest characters to draw because the mask is so iconic. But you also have to emote with him, and that's hard to do.
Oh, 100%. And that's, you know, it's one thing for an actor because you have motion and movement, and you can pause and turn. And so it's definitely one of those things, like as a writer, it's definitely a difficult task to write him, but the artists I don't envy at all either, because you know they have to show this emotion and expression, and a lot of that is, you know, picking specific camera angles and the way Vader turns, and I think Vader's silence speaks so much to him.
Mm-hmm.
That when he does choose to speak, it almost doesn't matter in a way.
Sure. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's hard to describe, but yeah, he's definitely an interesting character and a fun character to work on in the comics, but it's also, he's so much fun to then explore the different characters around him. The characters that he lets and be a part of his world and whatever way he lets them be a part in, but then also the characters that are forced to be in his world and he just has to deal with them.
Well, he's so larger than life that you have to come up with foils or you know, side characters that can somehow fit and you know, not, I mean, he's going to overshadow anybody. mm-hmm. of course, but you have to really put, and that's why Aphra, I think, was so exciting, because she was so different and she was such an interesting, talk about like, you know, odd buddy cop situation, the two of them together. It was just brilliant. It was just really, really smart. And by the way, all those things we're talking about, Vader, I think it really kind of showcases and encapsulates how important David Prowse's portrayal of Vader is for us, whether we realize or not. Of course, it's James Earl Jones, naturally. You can't have Vader without James Earl Jones. But the way that David Prowse carried himself and walked, I mean, that jumps into the page as well.
Oh, 100%. The physicality is so, so much of Vader. Like, I would say even more so than James Earl Jones's voice. Sorry, James Earl Jones, if you're listening. I know you are. You're obviously
of course he is.
But there's just something about, you know, there's a way that specific people carry themselves that is so stoic and just demands respect and demands attention. And the way that David Prowse carried himself in Vader's attire, that was a dude you paid attention to and you didn't mess around. Which is so intimidating and just so, so, so cool. Yeah, I don't know. I agree with that 100%.
And, you know, and even if you've ever been somewhere, like whether it's in a museum or a Lucasfilm or just a great example of cosplay, if you've got a Darth Vader costume and someone is about scale, you know, height wise with David Prowse was, it is intimidating. Even when you know, look, this is a fictional character, it's just, there's still that second, you know. And I think this is also shown by when you're at Disneyland or Disney World and you get to meet Darth Vader or you get to meet Kylo Ren. Like, that's, those designs are just speak so much, and comics are such a design visual medium. Anyway, Heather, thank you so much for sharing some of your insights into this. This is fascinating stuff.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for chatting. I love talking this stuff.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, the Star Wars Card Trader from Topps, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, and our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to this show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now. A big thank you to Heather Antos and Ryder Waldron for joining us today. Please let everyone know where they can find you and chat more some Star Wars and comics with you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is just my name, at Heather Antos, HEATHERANTOS.
Yeah, Twitter is the best place to get in contact with me, at Ryder Waldron DDS. I have this little blog on coffeewithkenobi.com, and you can also hear me talk about Star Wars on the Idiots Array podcast that you can find pretty much anywhere you find podcasts.
We have links to all of these things in the show notes, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. It's going to be a busy week this week with show number 125, which you've just listened to, and 126 will follow shortly thereafter, featuring our live conversations from the Peoria Riverfront Museum and immediate reactions to Solo, a Star Wars story from myself, Tom Gross, Corey Club, and each of you who come to the Peoria Riverfront Museum and are able to watch the show with us for the first time. We're very excited. Next week also is going to be the full review of the movie featuring members of the entire Coffee with Kenobi family. Thanks so much, everybody. Enjoy Solo, the brand new Star Wars movie. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.